right. I'm excited for another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer. I'm one of the founders of the Community Roundtable and the CR Network. And I'm excited to be speaking today with Patrick Helen, the Community Manager at CloudLock. I'm also joined by my colleague, Shannon.
Hi, Jim. We are so excited to have you here today, Patrick. We'd love for you to get started by introducing yourself, telling us a little bit about what CloudLock does, and then the kind of community you work with.
Sure. So, Patrick Helen, I am a community manager. I know these are shock moments for everybody out there. The community that I'm working with at CloudLock is very much a customer-focused community for a technology company. The company itself deals with cloud security. So we are, our motto is sort of, we're trying to protect people in the cloud, not from the cloud, as more and more companies start to transition a lot of their infrastructure, information, et cetera, to the cloud environment. We're in a position of making sure that they're doing so securely and that they can be in a place that they feel safe about having that information somewhere that's not completely in their control. The community that I run, as I said, is customer focused. So we are an external community looking at providing our customers with a place to engage with us directly, access their support cases, sort of see a history of everything they've been working on, engage with us using ideation, et cetera, and then a full knowledge base for all of the various different documentation that we have. And then as far as me, I've been a community manager. This is, I think, my fifth year. I've exclusively worked with external customer-focused technical communities. So I'm kind of in a bit of a unique scenario of trying to get people who don't usually chat all that much to chat with each other.
That's interesting. So you mentioned people that don't like to chat and getting them to chat with one another. You do work primarily with high-tech focused communities. It's for the past few roles you've been in, that's what you focused on. Are there any tips that you've got for folks that are listening to help engage with folks that might not be comfortable with it?
Actually, yes. I've made the joke multiple times that when you're dealing with security, which is what a lot of my tech background has been in, it's actually even more difficult because while the internet and, you know, cloud connections and using communities is very much a normal connection point for your average person that's interested in technology or is, you know, searching for help on something they're working on when it comes to high tech. When you talk about security, it adds another layer of sort of reluctance to communicate because there's, you know, people worry that they're going to put too much information out there. Am I going to reveal something that someone else can use maliciously? Et cetera, et cetera. And so there's been a few different things that I've done that I find have been probably the easiest and yet most rewarding solutions. And that's, in the first case, it sounds dumb, it sounds very, very basic, but it really is just about asking people to do things, right? We've all talked about this before in the CR, multiple different threads about this, but the power of a community manager actually going out to someone and saying, hey, listen, here's the deal. Here's the brass tacks. We need someone to start the conversation. And I use the analogy of the seventh grade dance floor a lot because I think it's perfect because the awkwardness of looking across a room at the people that you're supposed to be mingling with as they all kind of stand there with their friends and no one wants to be the first person to get out there, breaking that ice is key. And so I think the first step is just to ask someone to start contributing and then start trying to build on that contribution, getting other people to sort of like weigh in and just, you know, cash in your favors, cash in your chips as you go. Tell someone that, you know, you're willing to help them with something else they're working on. You want to put them in a position of getting them some more prestige or some more exposure via the community, which can help in their internal role. You know, how can I help you with your boss if you help me with mine sort of stuff, which isn't as sort of Machiavellian as it sounds. It's actually very helpful because it's like, listen, you have knowledge. We want you to present it. Just here's a little extra push to get you out there. And then once that starts, once that sort of like initial ice is broken, it's part of it is to sort of let people be the experts, I find. the easiest thing to do on the internet is to get kind of like people arguing. And so this is sort of one step back from that. It's less about arguing, but it's more about creating a topic or creating content that sort of fosters that debate and fosters some sort of conversation around a multiple different options to do something. So things that are like a birds of a feather conversation. We've talked about Ask Me Anythings recently, which is a good sort of like icebreaker that gets people talking about different aspects of it. And then really trying to engage with people and saying, hey, how do you do X? How do you do X? How have you approached this problem? Because the final thing I would say is that in most tech communities, just like in most security communities, people have a lot of kind of concern about that they're not doing enough, or they haven't done the right thing, or they haven't configured it correctly. And they always want to make sure that they're kind of checking what their peers are doing and making sure that they're in the right position for whatever specific aspect of their job they're dealing with the community.
I really like that subtlety, because it seems a lot more genuine than kind of the tried and true, and I'm using air quotes. I think a lot of times you see community managers say something controversial that they don't necessarily believe just to try to create engagement. And it seems like that's just so, I don't know. It's you're just not being genuine when you pull that trick, and it's not sustainable. So I like your approach better.
I think it's one of those things where you see people doing it as a way to, as you said, to start that conversation, but invariably the people that see through the ruse specifically do not contribute to that conversation, because they've seen the man behind the curtain in the question. They're like, well, I'm not going to jump into that because they're just asking for it. But if you're a little bit more of like a, hey, here's a topic that actually has a multifaceted viewpoint to it, let's discuss this. You know, in my own world, being in security, it could be something as easy as like, how are you dealing with, you know, policy violations? You have people in your own environment. They're probably your own employees that are being found to be putting files they shouldn't have access to places, et cetera. How are you dealing with that? And there's a multitude of answers for that. And there's no specific right answer or wrong answer, but everyone can kind of get a good viewpoint on what everybody else is doing and sort of make their decisions based on that, what their best practices might be.
I think that's such great perspective on a problem that I think a lot of people struggle with their communities. I think something that we found is not necessarily unique to you, but you certainly handle it interesting, is your really lighthearted community management style. Anyone who has interacted with you or follows you on Twitter knows that humor plays a big part in how you interact with people. Could you give some advice on the use of humor when engaging with your members?
Sure. For me, it's sort of a double-edged sword. Humor is 100% a defense mechanism and also just the way that I communicate. So it kind of covers both areas, in that if I'm in an uncomfortable situation, humor is a huge crutch that I use to make the situation a little bit less uncomfortable. But it's also a solution that it sort of helps you define the people you're interacting with in a very easy way. You know, it lets you read a crowd or read a group in a way that's I think, a lot more insightful than a lot of other options, where you can, you know, let's have a very serious conversation, let's have a very serious discussion. If you introduce a gesture into the very serious conversation, a lot of times the reactions that you get from that sort of like light-handed side conversation that comes out of it can sometimes be incredibly, incredibly interesting. And so I use that probably to my own detriment a lot, because I think it also breaks a lot of tension. You're sort of trying to diffuse a situation that's existing within a community conversation. Humor is awesome, because you can quickly and easily sort of like detract or sort of bleed off a little bit of the extra intensity with a little bit of humor. It's sort of a learned art to do it to a point that it's not dismissing the real concerns of a conversation by using humor. But I think it helps. And I would say for advice, I think taking yourself too seriously is probably the one thing that I would say to not do. There's always options to sort of inject a little bit of a hey, we're all in this together mentality. And I think that's what a lot of the kind of the jokey status that I use is. in that if I make myself the joke, which I do quite a bit for those that have seen me on the CR, making myself the joke is completely okay because I'm the person that's being made fun of and I don't mind. So no one else is kind of the brunt of my joke. No one else is in a position where they feel like I'm targeting them unfairly. And I use that a lot because I'm a non-highly technical person in a technical community to my advantage, right? I know enough to be dangerous, but I certainly don't know the level that a lot of my members do. And so when I can call out the fact that they're speaking too fast for the caveman, or I can, you know, make some sort of joke about the fact that I graduated with an English degree and thus your strange boxes that have lights and sounds in them confuse me, like that sort of quick and easy thing that can just throw it out there, it redirects the entire conversation. And I think it helps. So advice, just keep it simple. Make sure that, you know, you have to read your audience pretty well. But make sure that you're not sort of like trying to defuse a bomb with a Bic pen, so to speak. But also try to include it in your overall conversations, because it makes it that much easier for people to think you're approachable, for people to just start conversations with you. And if you can get other people joking, that can make an entire conversation potentially go completely sideways. But sometimes those sideways conversations lead you to more of an insight about the people you're actually dealing with anyway.
It probably helps you that you have some similar looks as the classic caveman.
Yeah, I mean, mostly the jaw and the huge sloping forehead. But other than that, I mean, you know, spot on.
So I can say that in jest only because we've known each other for quite a long time.
Stay tuned for part two of our podcast with Patrick Helen.